Patea picin cucin, na oni awa hanki e, wa hantanka wanjinaki. Please be seated. Sweetheart, take that for me before I put it and send it into your face, because I will. Hamatakiopi, greetings, my relatives. I am Lauren Stanley. I am the priest who serves on the Rosebud Indian Reservation in South Dakota, where you have been our partners for the last 20 years. I was here 2 years ago, so I remember some of you, and I'm hoping that you remember me a little fondly. You may remember that I had hair in those days. I have not had any hair since January of last year. I've been shaving my head for 4 friends of mine who have cancer. And so Harry's Shave Club and me, we're like this. I am very grateful to have been invited to come back to be with you again this morning. I'm grateful to Doris, your interim, who's never met me, doesn't know a whole lot about the Rosebud, but she's going to come June. And to Donna and all of the members of the Mission Committee who graciously invited me to come back so that I could share a word of hope and a bit of the gospel with you, bring you greetings from your relatives on the Rosebud, and help us all in Advent, I pray, to find a way to turn hope from a passive verb into an active verb, because that is what we're doing here today. We're here in church because we hope. We hope for a better world. We hope that we're going to find what we want under the Christmas tree at the 8 o'clock service. I asked for roller skates and then realized that I was dating myself. I think I'm supposed to be asking for a hoverboard. I don't think I have the balance to ride a hoverboard, but got to be topical and you got to be on time. But we're not here today because we are just sitting back waiting for something to happen to us. Because that, my friends, is not what Jesus' hope is all about. Jesus' hope is not the thing where you just sit back and wait for something to happen to you. Jesus' hope is an active verb where he grabs you by the neck and tells you to get off your duff and go do something about it. Because if you don't, who's gonna? If you don't make hope an active verb at the core of your being, especially now in Advent, well, my God, who's going to do it for you? It ain't going to be the Santa Claus at the mall. It's up to you. Hope is what the prophet Isaiah is talking about in this morning's first reading. And the prophet Isaiah, you need to know at this point, is talking to people who have been in exile, who have been oppressed, who have been enslaved, who have been taken to a foreign land with a foreign language and foreign clothing and foreign food and a foreign god and dumped there to rot. And he speaks to them a word of active hope, a word that says, strengthen those who are weak. Get up off your duff and do the work yourself. Because I am telling you that God is with you. And when you believe it and when you live it, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. Then the eyes of the ears shall be unstopped. Then the deaf shall be able to hear and the lame shall leap like a deer. And those who are dumb will speak again and sing with joy. But it isn't going to happen if you're sitting on your duffs. It's only going to happen if you embrace it and make it active. Get up and do something about it. Because that is what hope is all about. Now, the chapter that we're reading in Isaiah right now, this is Isaiah himself writing. This is first Isaiah. He is writing to people who have been in exile now for a very long time, for decades, so long that they're not even certain they can remember what their homeland looks like. Or what their food really tastes like. These are not people who have been given freedom yet. It's going to take another several decades. These are people who have been gone just long enough that they can't really remember what Jerusalem smells like. And they're down in the dumps, and they've given up hope. And so Isaiah comes to him and he says that he is going to give them the word of God, and the word of God is going to stir up the power in them, and they are going to get off their duffs and they are going to reclaim their heritage, and they are going to reclaim their language, and they are going to reclaim everything they need so that they can be the people of God, because Isaiah is speaking to the chosen people of God. And he is telling them, there is hope and it's active, and I want you to grab it. And I want you to live it. And I want you to give it to your children. And I want you to take it out of here so that one day when you do go home, you will know who and whose you are, because you are God's beloved children and you belong to God, and this God will never forget you. Ever. Hope, my friends, is an active verb. You don't get to sit back and wait for it to happen to you. You go and make it happen. Now, up on the Rosebud, you know, we're like the people who are in exile. Up on the Rosebud, we're like the people who have been taken to a foreign land, forced to wear foreign clothes, forced to speak a foreign language, forced to eat foreign food. We are a people who have been in exile since 1873, told that we can never go home again to our own lands, because those lands now include the capital of the great state of South Dakota, and they're not giving it back. My people are the people who have had their children stolen from them and taken off to boarding schools, and sometimes they don't get to come back. My people are the people who have lost their language because every time they spoke it in school, they were beaten. They've lost their ways, their traditional ways of taking care of each other, because they have no hope. They have been told that they don't deserve to live. They have been damn near wiped off the earth. And these are people who need hope that is tangible. They need hope that they can touch, that they can feel, that they can smell. You want to know what hope looks like on the Rosebud? This is hope. This is a piece of firewood. This comes from a 200-year-old cottonwood tree that died in the middle of the city of Mission, city being a very loose term. There are all of 1,100 of us there. And that everybody on the Rosebud asked for. They wanted that 200-year-old tree because it was taller than this ceiling. Everybody wanted that cottonwood. But the school district that owned the land said, no, you can't have the cottonwood. And people said, why not? And they said, because that belongs to Mother Lauren. People said, what's she going to do with it? And they said, oh, we're sponsors of the Firewood for the Elders program. You know, the one where she cuts down the wood and gets everybody to cut it for her. And she drags us all in there and she convinces us all to take 2 days of our work schedule to bring out the monster machines and help cut down a tree so big that the trunk is still standing because it's more than 20 feet across and we haven't quite figured out how to cut it down yet. But give me time, I'll get it. And then she cuts up all that wood and then she gives it away for free, because the church never charges for the gospel of hope and love. And so we spent 2.5 days taking that tree down, and we dragged those big pieces out there, and I still got pieces need cutting. So when you come up in June, I'm going to teach you to play with my toys, Doris. We got toys. We got 4 chainsaws and 2 axes and 3 hammers and 4 wedges, and we got a 6-ton splitter called Tinkerbell. And we got a 17-ton splitter called Colossus. And we're going to teach you to play with all those toys, and you're going to love it. This is hope. This is what it looks like. Kathleen, can you take that out? I want you to touch this. I want you to feel it. I want you to smell it. I want you all to know what hope is tangibly, because that is what we need if we're ever going to get off our duffs and if we're ever going to live the hope that God gives to us through the prophet Isaiah and through the very incarnation of God in Jesus Christ, his son. Hope is not something that sits back and waits. Hope is something that gets off his duff and it cuts this wood. And in the middle of a snowstorm, when Grandma Amy calls and says that all she's got to burn are rags, you get in your car, you load it up with this wood, and you drive it 24 miles in a snowstorm so bad you cannot find the road. So you tell the guy in the other seat, Tom, open your window, see if you can find the edge of the road for me, because I for darn certain cannot. And you drive that wood up to her, and you unload that wood, and you keep her from freezing to death. Because no one, my friends, no one on the Rosebud is going to freeze to death on our watch. And you all are partners in this. Not only are you our longest serving partners, having been with us for more than 20 years, but every time you come up to the Rosebud, you work to give hope to the people, to show them again what it means to work together. You get to cut firewood, you build a ball field, then you rebuild the ball field. You take care of houses, you build habitat houses. You give money to our propane for the elders and our firewood for the elders program. You provide tangible evidence that the people in exile on the Rosebud matter, that they are not forgotten, that there is hope that their lives will be better because you are physically providing that hope. I am telling you here and now, if you are going to go through the rest of Advent hoping to get that hoverboard, you ain't going to do nothing. But if you get up and you go out into the world and you do the work that God has given you to do, to strengthen the weak hand and to make firm the feeble knee, if you go and make straight that path in the wilderness, you will change the world. And that is what we do as followers of Jesus. We change the world. We don't wait for Jesus to show up and change it for us. He's already been here. He's given us our marching orders. And my friends, these are orders. These are not suggestions. These are not, well, if you're feeling like it, you know, you really could do blah, blah, blah. No, this is Jesus saying, go into the world. Preach that gospel. And you preach that gospel by living that gospel. And that is what you've been doing on the Rosebud. And that is what I am doing here this morning. Because your Christmas offering, my friends, is coming to the Rosebud. And I'm here to tell you, it is bitterly cold up there right now. It is 10 degrees below zero. And it's just the beginning. And my people are cold. So we are cutting wood. We cut another cord of wood yesterday. We delivered most of it yesterday, too. We have been cutting wood since last summer. And we are going to continue to cut wood. And we have community members who are buying into this vision. And instead of passively sitting back saying, Mother Lauren, can I have a load of wood? They're saying, Mother Lauren, can I come and cut some wood for you? Mother Lauren, when are we going to go and cut some more wood? Mother Lauren, can I use Colossus? Mother Lauren, I want to use Ange. That's our smallest little chainsaw. Mother Lauren, can I use the Husky? That's our biggest chainsaw. And they are coming and doing this work because they see hope in action. They see God in action. They see that by working together, we're not going to have anybody freeze to death on the Rosebud. We are not the Standing Rock or the Cheyenne River where people have frozen to death because nobody is working together. On the Rosebud, we are once again bringing all of the Lakota people, the Sichangu Lakota Oyate, and bringing them together back to their roots. And their roots are, you take care of each other. And you do that by getting out, I don't care how cold it is, and you split me some wood, and then we'll deliver it. And when we don't have enough firewood, or when they don't have a fireplace, we provide them with propane, 100 gallons at a time. Now, I don't know if y'all know much about propane heat. I knew nothing about it when I moved to the Rosebud. I had to have my propane man teach me everything, because I didn't know it. I had no idea. But 100 gallons of propane will keep a family warm for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And because the propane company and I have worked very hard to be very nice to each other, and because I have given them the exclusive contracts of the Rosebud Episcopal Mission, which includes 13 tanks and about 12,000 gallons of propane a year, they give us a huge discount, and they will deliver on demand. I can call them, and I can say, I need you to go over to Denny Joe Prue's and give them 100 gallons. And then they send me a bill once a month, and thanks be to God, because of people like you, I can pay that bill. So when Christmas time comes, I'm going to ask you to be really generous, because your dollars, the gifts that you give us, that's living hope. That's not just some passive little thing you're tossing into the collection plate that's going to show up on your tax statement. That's warmth. That's life. That's hope. We are followers of Jesus. We are the ones who are called to live hope, to grab it by the neck and wrestle it to the ground and make it do what we want. We are the ones who can take a piece of wood and teach a whole family that they have not forgotten, that even in exile, God is with them. That even though they have been in a foreign land with a foreign language and foreign food and foreign clothing and everything going against them, there is somebody who cares about them. And that somebody is you. And you are actively working to keep them alive and to feed their spirit, to feed their soul, as well as to fill their bellies. That is what we're doing here on church, in church on Sunday morning, the third Sunday in Advent. We're not here passively waiting for Jesus to maybe decide that this is the year he's going to show up. It doesn't work that way. We're here so that we can get fired up and that we can go out into the world and we can live that hope that God gives us, because we know that God wants us to do that, and we know that God is with us. Amen.
Amen.